The call to worship verse, Psalm 149, just want to give you a little insight into that as we use that as our launch this morning. Psalm 149, fascinating verse, the fourth verse of that, chapter 149 of Psalms, verse 4. Take a look at that in your scriptures. And our theme for the whole year is victory in Christ. And Jacob Neufeld and I were talking about our banners, which came down for the wedding a couple weeks ago. And the third one was being discussed and thought through and planned on Friday night as Jacob and I were talking about that. And should be going up soon. Victory in Christ is our theme for the year. Psalm 149, verse 4 reads, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." He crowns the humble with victory is the way my translation reads. But there's different ways that those Hebrew words are translated. This one says, "He crowns the humble with victory." Other ways of taking that Hebrew word would be, "He adorns the humble," or "He crowns the humble." I really like that way of translating that Hebrew word. He crowns the humble with, what word do you have there? Victory? Some salvation. Yeah. He crowns the humble with salvation or victory. So I was wondering, well, what is the Hebrew word there? So I looked it up, and one of the apps or the web pages that works really well for those of you who have media devices is Bible Hub. You can type in a verse. And one of the things I like to do is look at what's the original word there. And so you can go to a feature in the program called Interlinear Bible. I encourage you to use an Interlinear Bible. I have some big bound volumes now, but I hardly ever open the paper books now with the computer things. In an Interlinear Bible, it has word by word in the original language. In this case, Old Testament would be Hebrew. And then above that, it would have a transliteration, how you might pronounce that Hebrew word, because most of you don't know Hebrew. And then it would have a number, which relates to the Strong's Concordance numbers, because every word in your Bible, Old and New Testament, has been numbered. And then you can click on that number, and it'll go to teaching you about that word. So this verse says, God adorns or crowns or beautifies the humble with something. Victory or salvation. The word there is the word, what does he crown us with? He crowns us with the word Yeshua. You know what that is? Some of you are smiling. He crowns us with Yeshua is what that verse says. Who knows what Yeshua is? Yes. It's the word that became Jesus' name. He crowns us with Yeshua. What's the key for victory? He adorns us, he beautifies us, he crowns us with this thing. What is this thing? It's victory, it's salvation, but ultimately it's Yeshua, it's Jesus. How do we get victory? How do we get salvation? It's in Jesus. So our theme for the year, victory in Jesus, comes really, I didn't realize it, this is divine providence, right out of this verse. He beautifies us, crowns us, adorns us with Jesus. That's what brings victory. That's what brings salvation. And that's what we're relying upon. That's the truth we're living in. That's what we're standing in. That's what we're operating in. That's what we're marching forward in. The fact that in Jesus, we have victory. We have salvation. And it's God who does that. He beautifies us. He adorns us. He crowns us with Jesus. So we celebrate that this morning as we move forward to be people who worship Yeshua, who worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who give him all of our hearts, all of our praise. Does praise really change things? Some of you have a wonderful habit. Sometimes I think it's become so ingrained that we don't always catch it. But you remember going up to some of the people in our congregation and you go and say something to them and their first response will be, well, praise the Lord. Sometimes if things aren't going real well, you say something to them, they go, well, praise the Lord anyway. There's power there, people. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Hasn't rained for a month? Praise the Lord anyway. Rains when you're trying to go on a tenting vacation today? Praise the Lord anyway. God's timing is perfect. Sickness comes? Praise the Lord anyway. You wanted to go home from the hospital. Instead, they say you have to stay there through the weekend and then go to a nursing home for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Praise the Lord anyway. Struggles are happening in your finances or your employment or your relationships. Praise the Lord anyway. Is that a trite saying, or is that a powerful truth upon which we stand and which we can move forward to be conquerors, victorious ones in the world in which we live? Look with me at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, missionaries called by God to minister the gospel around the area. Acts chapter 16, around verse 16. Paul and Silas were going to a place of prayer. They were met by a female slave who had a spirit or a demon by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Notice the demon was speaking truth. Demons understand aspects of what God is doing and who are those who belong to God. Verse 18, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. Notice what Paul didn't do. A fancy ritual. Some kind of actions and motions and special maneuvers. It doesn't even say he yelled. It says he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Christ, I command," exercising authority, "I command you, come out of her." And it had to obey. But the result, verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. Stripped and beaten with rods. You feel a few of those blows? Rods. Take something maybe the size of a hefty broom handle. Put it in the hands of an angry mob. Feel that hitting you. Head, shoulders, arms, back, face. Stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Pause there and think about how bad that was. They're on mission for Christ. They're obeying Jesus. They're doing what God told them to do. They are carrying the good news of Christ to a new community. They just set a girl free from being demonized, oppressed by a demon. You would think people would say, "Oh, isn't this wonderful?" But so often when you're doing the right thing, oppression rears up and attacks. I was talking with someone this week and I said, you know, it doesn't sound right, but I'm actually excited about things when opposition comes. Because I know what's on the other side. I've seen it often enough that when the enemy tries to rile things up and create chaos, create tension and hinder relationships, I know that if we push through and do what's right, good things are on the other side, blessings on the other side. So I'm actually excited, happy, optimistic in the midst of difficulty. Is it natural? No, it's not natural. But if you know the way God works, and you see how he's done it throughout Scripture, and have enough history in your own life to observe it, we can start looking for what God's going to do in the midst of these things. Paul, Silas, beaten severely, fastened in the inner cell, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? How are they going to respond? How would you respond? Too often we respond like this. Doggone it. God, why weren't you more faithful, more loving? Why didn't you keep your end of the bargain, God. Why didn't you let the words flow through my mind more smoothly, God? Why didn't you do what you're supposed to do, God? Oh, it's so easy to get mad at God, isn't it? And then when we're mad about something, we get mad at others. And then we start having a pity party. I deserve better than this. What about my rights? What about my comfort? Let's just admit what that is. That's flesh. That's human nature. And that is something we want to live above. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Can we learn that phrase? Well, praise the Lord anyway. I've heard some pretty nasty things happen by simple hammer misdirections. What if we hit a finger with a hammer and what came out of our mouth was, praise the Lord anyway. That black fingernail will match the one next to it now. Praise the Lord anyway. When you're squeezed, what comes out? Does praise come out? I believe that God wants us to learn how in the midst of any situation to be people of praise. Because it means our direction is no longer on self. It's on Him. So become people of praise. Humble people of praise. Gentle people of praise. People who get hit by sticks, hit by hammers, hit by calamities, hit by social situations, relational chaos, and the result is praise the Lord anyway. Paul and Silas are beaten, thrown into an inner cell in a jail. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas are complaining. No, wait a minute. Let me read it better. About midnight, Paul and Silas were, is that right? What is your, you know, sometimes I don't see well. What does your verse say? Acts 16:25. Read it for me, somebody. About midnight, Paul and Silas were, what? And, man, that's amazing. That's not natural. That is supernatural. That's God. That's two guys who have been filled with the Spirit of Christ, who look at situations in their own flesh and in the situation around them, and they see beyond the circumstance to the Savior, to the Rescuer, to the one who's got a plan, who's always trustworthy. And they're looking to Him, and about midnight, in chains, with bruises, with blood, they are praying and praising, praying and singing hymns to God. What happens when you pray and praise? It won't always be exactly like this, but it will in many ways have similarities to what happened here. This is an extreme example in the physical realm. Sometimes what happens is only in the spiritual realm. Sometimes what happens is only in the internal realm, in your own thinking, in your own believing, in your own thought processes, and how your attention is directed. Here in their situation, about midnight, with blood oozing out for their head and their shoulders and their arms, they are praying, praying, and praising, singing hymns to God. The result? Other prisoners were listening to them. People, you are an example all the time. You are always an example. Are you an example for good or for bad? You get hit, people listen. Oh, what's going to come out of that person's mouth? What's that person going to say? How's that person going to act? Whether it's little eyes or old eyes, what you do when you're hit has an impact on the people around you. Paul and Silas, beaten in prison, chained up, inner cell, praising and praying, and the prisoners are listening. Man, there's a lot of prisoners around each of us. People caught up, tied up, bound up. And they're needing someone to give them a proper perspective to how they should respond, how they should think. Can we be like Paul and Silas, who in the midst of that are praying and praising because people are paying attention? Maybe it's your prayer right now. God, help me praise you in spite of or in the midst of any kind of oppression, opposition, criticism, when there's illness, when there's financial stress, when there's no rain. Let me praise you, God. Praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord in the midst of. Paul and Silas are praying and praising God. the other prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. What caused that? What caused an earthquake? I think the honest, truthful, biblical answer is praise caused an earthquake. Now, God, yes. God's always the Sunday school answer. What caused it? Jesus. Yes. Good job. Here's your star for your poster. But it was the praise prompted by Jesus. It was the faith put inside of them by Jesus that enabled them to praise God in spite of the pain they were enduring. And as they obeyed and as they allowed the Spirit to work through them, as they praised and prayed, the power of God came in a physical way, shaking the earth. Foundations of the prison itself were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open because the thresholds and the jams and the things that held everything together, the hinges and the lock mechanisms, they were shaken so much that they came undone. And even more so, everyone's chains came loose. Chains came loose. Let that phrase run around in your head a little bit. In prison, beaten, bleeding, praising God, praying, God does something that shakes the environment. Chains come off. Chains come loose. Chains came loose from praising God. Friends, those chains that are wrapped around your heart, those chains that are wrapped around your thoughts, those chains that are wrapped around your hopes, those chains that are wrapped around you physically and emotionally and socially, those chains that are wrapped around you don't need to stay on you. Those chains don't belong on you. They're not God's plan for you. God wants to set you free. Your choice is where you're going to focus. Are you going to focus on those chains? Are you going to stare at the chains, thinking about how big they are, how strong they are, how heavy they are, how unfair they are? Are you going to focus on the chains? Are you going to forget the chains and look at the chain breaker? Are you going to look to Jesus, his worthiness? Are you going to say, even though you slay me, yet will I worship you, like Job did? Will you say, you are worthy of all my heart's affection and attention, like Paul and Silas did? As they worshiped, Christ miraculously, by the power of his Spirit, shook the situation, broke loose the chains. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. The reason for that was if the authorities came and his prisoners had escaped, they would demand his life for his failure to keep the prisoners under lock and key. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What? Did you catch that? What must I do to be saved, says a Roman prison guard, prison official? And see what's so exciting about oppression and harassment? Is that when we walk through it, when we keep our focus on Jesus, things change in us and in those who observe us. A prison guard asked, "How can I be saved?" Because Paul and Silas, after being beaten, praised God. You want revival to come to your family? First to your own life, then to your family, then to your church, and then to your community, then to your country, and then to your world? You want revival to come? Then endure oppression and harassment well, faithfully, obediently, humbly, surrendering your own will, your own body. And let Christ show his victory through you. Oh, I hate that timer. I've got about 3/4 of my sermon left to go. Let me read Ephesians 5:18, because that's what I put in the bulletin and told you I was going to preach on. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be very careful then how you live." Oh, be careful, people. "Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." The days are evil, people, so be wise. Be careful how you live. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Oh, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't use wine to cause your pain to be diminished. Don't use wine to enable you to take your thoughts off of the things that are happening around you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Pause there. The opening verses talk about, hey, there's chaos going on. There's oppression going on. There's evil going on. These are tough times that we're in the midst of. So be wise. And what kind of wisdom? God's wisdom that results in us not looking to release or relief, but instead focusing on God in the midst of it, being filled with the Spirit. And the verb there, filled, is the ongoing, continuing tense of the Greek. Amazing, Greek has so much more than English. It tells us not just that it is something we should do, but something that we should continue to do. Be filled continually and ongoing with the Holy Spirit, and then the result? Praise. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, not being isolated, not withdrawing, not taking our marbles and going home because things aren't going the way we wanted them to, but being engaged with one another in the congregation, connected together, family of God, being together, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Different types of vocal praise statements or praise words put to music. We'll dig into those words more in the future. You do that when the days are evil. You engage, you focus on the Spirit, you let Him work in you, fill you up, flow out of you. When the Holy Spirit flows out of you, it comes out in the sound of hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, or songs from the Spirit. Singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Praise the Lord anyway. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to invite the worship team to come up in a little bit and try to apply what we've learned. So as they are leading us in song, I want to give you some tips. Let me give you some tips about how to engage in this battle that we are entering into. So as the worship team's coming up, would you be praying? Would you be praying prayers of submission to the Lordship of Christ? And not just today, but every Sunday, as the service is beginning, be praying prayers of submission to Christ, inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you, guide you, empower you, asking God for protection and direction and revelation, asking God to reveal Himself, His truth, His grace, His love. And pray for the worship leaders. We call these people worship leaders, not song leaders. Why? Because we want to be led in worship, not just in song. We don't want just someone who can have a right tune and a right beat. We want to encounter the right person. So pray for our worship leaders. And not just as they are walking up here, but all week long, because they're thinking about what songs God might use to carry us into His presence and extend His kingdom. What songs might be used to foster worship. And by the way, the songs are not worship. The songs are tools to help us worship. So we ask a lot of our worship leaders, pray for them. And then during the songs, let the songs guide you into worship. Invite God to use your body, your mind, and most importantly, your spirit to encounter Him in true worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. You want to go deeper than the words. The words could be used to then help you focus on God. And you might sing a phrase, and in your mind you're saying, yes, Lord, I agree with that, Lord. Do that, Lord. You see a phrase in print, and maybe it so captures your attention that you can't even sing it out loud, because you immediately have to say, God, yes, do that in me. Do that in my family. Do that in my church. Do that in my community. Do that, God. Maybe there's something that just strikes you, go, oh, I failed on that this week. So, Lord, I repent. Those words that we just heard sung, Lord, they prompt me to repent of something. I humble myself before You. We're singing in the physical, But internally, we're directing our heart and our spirit to the supernatural, to the divine, to an encounter with Christ. We're here on this planet, but our spirits are in the heavenlies. We are engaged in this twofold thing going on right now. Worship is a miracle. We're not asking you to do something physical. We're asking you to do something supernatural, to engage with Christ in both the physical realm and the spiritual realm. In between the songs, when a song ends, worship doesn't. In between the songs is maybe one of the most important times during the set of songs that are being done. Because that's when you're saying, yes, Lord, what I just said, Lord, I agree with. I just want you to do that in a deep, deep way inside of me, Lord. I'm saying yes to this, Lord. Pray over. Repeat the song. Some of you have the ability to keep a tune going. Keep going with that tune that you just heard. Just because they stop singing doesn't mean you have to. I noticed that we're a dancing church. I saw person after person walk in and do this dance step. Okay, yes, you were wiping the water off your feet. You hadn't had that in a month. Didn't know what to do with that. But if you just can't sit still or stand still any longer, I'm giving you permission. Just like Jeremy did in Ethiopia. You can do a little dancing when you're worshiping. But do it in the back so I don't laugh at you. There's so many more things. I guess we'll have to admit we're out of time. But people, worship is so important. Don't waste these minutes. Don't let them be experienced at a level 1 or level 2 when God wants you to turn the knob all the way up to level 10 and then worship Him in spirit and truth with everything you've got. Picture David worshiping the Lord with abandon as they brought the Ark of the Covenant home to Jerusalem. And David is in an ecstasy of worship. He is worshiping with everything he's got, body, soul, and spirit. People are looking at him from upper windows and they're being critical of him. How dare someone be critical of someone else when they're worshiping the Lord? Oh, I know we're so concerned what people think, but shouldn't we be concerned with what God thinks? So I bless you, people of God, to grow, to deepen, to expand your ability to engage your Savior. Your eyes might be focused on Him.